This is going to be a really great episode. You're really going to love it. I have my guest who lives in Belgium, but has lived around the world. And he teaches gardening, but from this beautiful, I think all gardening is beautiful. His perspective is so fascinating and so unique. And I just loved having this conversation with him. And I just know that you'll learn something. I learned a ton. Not that I know everything in gardening, but just these new fascinating ways to garden and how to control pests and how to use the rhythms of nature. And anyway, I just know you're going to love it. Hi, I'm Wendy Bergen. I'm just a regular mom with a husband, a bunch of kids, and some dogs. And I'm the founder of Joyfully Prepared, a business dedicated to teaching busy moms skills like gardening, food preservation, natural remedies, and more, so they can take care of themselves through developing talents, supporting their families with confidence, and saving money. I've rolled down the mountain of accomplishment so many times that I have skinned knees, grass in my teeth, and sticks in my hair. All of these mistakes have actually allowed me to become more confident in my knowledge and skills. I'm eager to learn and strive to create a space where people want to learn. Oh, I'm not perfect. In fact, someone once described me as the queen of preparedness, but normal, without scaring people. Whether it's canning, gardening, emergency preparedness, or anything else, I teach others to feel confident in learning it. Hi, this is the Joyfully Prepared podcast, and I'm your host, Wendy Bergen. Thank you so much for listening. Today, I have a wonderful guest. His name is Matthew Mahos, and he's with Polonia, and he's going to tell you all about what he teaches people and what he does. So, Matthew, take it away.
Yes, Wendy, thank you for the great introduction, and thank you for having me on your amazing show. I think what you bring to your audience is so valuable, and I'm a big fan of your work. So yeah, I'll just introduce myself. I'll try to keep it short, but I am a landscape architect and I have started working as a landscape architect for over 10 years. So I have an extensive knowledge and experience that I gathered from, like, I'm originally from Belgium, but I lived some time in Germany. I've done some work in Saudi Arabia, in Colombia and other countries, even tropical countries. And yeah, so before I started this business, I grew up on a family farm and I really enjoyed that time because I learned so much from my father and I got an immense passion about plants from growing up on the farm. So this is now something that I'm also bringing into the business. So I'm helping both gardeners to succeed in their garden projects, but also farmers. Because farmers are also in desperate need of help to improve their business and do that in a way that is all in harmony with nature. Because all of the solutions that we want to find, we don't necessarily have to use technology because all of the solutions are in nature. And yeah, it's been like this for quite a while. So that's a short introduction of myself.
That's wonderful. I love hearing that you grew up on a family farm. So really, this landscaping and gardening and plants, it's part of your DNA, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up on it. I grew up on the farm. And this was like one of my earliest memories as a child, were that I was so fascinated about the fact that if you have a seed and you put it in contact with the earth, it turns out to be a big, magnificent plant. Sometimes even a huge tree, right? That is right. Over hundreds and hundreds of years. It starts with a little seed. And the moment I started to realize that, I was just blown away. And this has actually guided me throughout my life to understand nature. Because the thing is, if you understand nature, you are going to be far more successful with anything you do that has to do with outdoors or even growing indoor plants. And this is actually also the cover or the title of my upcoming award-winning book, 12 Universal Laws of Nature, How to Get the Most Potential Out of Your Land. And yeah, that fascination brought me really, or has guided me throughout my life, to learn more about nature and then start applying that in gardens, because in gardens and in farms. So yeah, well, that's something important as well.
It is. And you just dropped that bomb on me that you got this book. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. I garden. I have certain things in my DNA. I try to be a gardener, like a good, I do my best. Let's put it that way. But when I meet people like you who truly, it almost brings me emotion that you have learned the love of nature, and that nature loves us back.
Yes,
and that exactly. Nature has laws, and that, you know, what you say about this book, it's that nature has revealed its laws to you, and that you're making it available so that I can understand them.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Wow, I love that. That's really beautiful that you mentioned that.
So most of my listeners are mothers who want to garden. They're seeing the need for growing your own food. It's a little overwhelming. They, you know, we have this traditional big garden with rows of carrots and tomatoes and green beans, different things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that type of a garden at all. However, gardens require effort. And if you don't know what your efforts are, you know, you might think that you're a failure, and you're never a failure at gardening. I mean, you kind of are. You kind of are.
You're only learning. You're always learning.
That's right. You're always learning. So I have failed. However, at the same time, I get better and better. And when I moved to Florida, I had to learn new techniques in gardening, because the climate is so different in Florida. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would say that my first garden was a big fat failure. But that's okay, you know, because now I know something and I can grow lettuce now. You know what I mean? So we're getting a little bit better. But so what would be your suggestion? Because there's container gardens, there's littler gardens, you know, different ways, tower gardens. Where would you suggest a mother who has children, or a woman who wants to start providing food for her family? And I tell women all the time, it doesn't have to be a full garden, even if you're just growing, you know, a little thing, a lettuce or a little pot of herbs, that's something more than going to the grocery store.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that it's really courageous from your audience to step into this journey, because I've done some research and I've got some people onto my podcast, which is the Regenerative Design Podcast, who are like scientists. And the food that we get from the supermarket, it's not looking good. Like, I'm very scared to talk about it, but there's so much glyphosate in the food and it's killing us. It's literally killing us.
Mm-hmm.
So stepping up and starting your own gardening journey is one of the most powerful ways to actually improve your health and save some money. And I just before getting on this podcast, I was thinking about it, like, what is the value of a garden, or what is the value of having a garden? And I just realized, like, this might actually save you millions of dollars, because if you don't garden and you just keep eating food that is poisoned, you'll get cancer and you'll have to get treatment. And this is going to be very, very, very expensive for you, especially in countries like the US where there's limited support in the healthcare. So investing in your garden is actually investing in your own future. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up. And I think the most important thing when you start your own garden is to know what you're doing and know what your goals are. Like, be honest with you. How much time a week can you make available to work in the garden? And then once you figure out that, you can start building your vision around it. And this is actually something that I teach in my masterclass, which is called the Garden of Your Dreams Masterclass, where we really dive deep into what you have to do and how you can do it and save a lot of money and time. But once you said, like, okay, I want to commit this much time, this is my vision, you'll get to like deciding what plants you want to have. And there's some really cool stuff that if you say, like, I want to grow some of my own food, but I also want to connect with local farmers and get other produce that is healthy from there, you can actually change the focus of your garden to be more on, for example, perennial vegetables. Mm-hmm. There's a whole beautiful world of edible plants that grow in your garden and that require very little maintenance. So that could be an option for you. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to start with the vision. Like, do you want an ornamental garden? Do you want an edible garden? What do you actually want? And what are you passionate about? And then from that vision, you go on and actually design it. You have to design a garden, in my opinion, because what a garden essentially is, and this is the most beautiful thing, is that a garden is the interaction, is the, for a human, it's the most direct interaction with nature. It's culture, which is human, let's say, and it's nature that are being combined. So because it's that, you require a substantial amount of knowledge and planning and design to get the most potential out of it. So yeah, getting a vision and then shaping a plan accordingly is really essential for the success of being a gardener. Yeah.
That's lovely. And I think it's such a lovely image of, bringing nature and human, interaction together. And I think when you were saying that it's, it's a very intimate relationship when you're working with, like, I was out with my tomatoes, I think it was yesterday, today, I don't remember, but I was, pruning them back and just talking to them and like, oh no, you're not supposed to be there. We don't need you anymore. And there's a familiarity as you work with your plants, whether you're weeding around that or whether you're watering or fertilizing or pruning or harvesting. And there's certainly a great amount of gratitude as you work with your plants, with your garden.
Yes.
I would love for you to also talk about, because this is something I haven't really done very well at, but there you can really put together a vegetable garden and an ornamental garden, because those flowers will bring the necessary insects and beauty to your vegetable garden. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, definitely. And first, what I want to say is what I really love that you said is that the fact that when we garden, we can connect with nature and connect with your plants, like you said. And it's just, I think it's one of the most rewarding things that ever is to be experienced as a human, is like when you, for people that are wanting to start their own vegetable or just growing garden, the moment you will eat your first own grown produce, it's just going to be memorable for the rest of your life.
I agree.
And I even had that, and it was about, like, on the farm. I grew up on the farm, and we were only doing cash crops, or my father was only focusing on cash crops at that time. And I said, I want a vegetable garden. I was like somewhere between 3 and 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they eventually gave me the permission to do it. And I started off with radishes. I had no clue. And radishes is just the easiest thing ever to grow.
Yes.
You just put the seeds and a couple of weeks later, you have something to eat.
Yep.
So, and that was for me, like, my biggest win at that age. Like, wow, you can just grow your own food. That was amazing. So to answer your question, that is really about the fact that you should, when you grow your own food, you should not be focusing on growing the vegetables. Like, you could say, okay, I'm just going to put up a raised bed and I'll grow some stuff and this is it. No, the thing is with nature, and this is one of the laws that I also talk about in the book, is that you have to create abundance. You have to create biodiversity, because the thing is, nature is working in a certain way and has been working like this for millions of years. Obviously, it evolves over time, but that evolution is very, very, very slow. So the thing about nature is that there is a beautiful interaction between insects, earthworms, other microorganisms. There's a lot of things going on, and it's very complex. We're, as in terms of science, we're only starting to understand really how this works. But we know that having a garden that is way more biodiverse is going to help you grow more healthier food, because flowers will attract beneficial insects. They will mitigate the pests. There's another thing that in your garden, when you're growing vegetables, the insects will go after the plants that are the weakest. Mm-hmm. So you have to also focus on creating a healthy soil. Now, mm-hmm. if you have some area in your garden that is maybe not perfectly maintained, well, the insects will go after that area and attack these plants rather than your vegetables. So even leaving an area that is a kind of unmaintained mm-hmm. and wild it a little bit has tremendous effects on mitigating pests. And it's really beautiful. That's also one of the laws, the law of vibration, that plants vibrate on a certain frequency. And similar to humans, it's also being proven now that the higher the frequency, the more healthy plants are. And it's apparently the same for humans. So plants that are high in frequency, they vibrate higher, and insects can detect that. Mm-hmm. So insects are kind of, because nature is in a way that it's constantly restoring itself and recycling nutrients, because nature knows that, the insects will go after the plants that are going to be dying soon or that might not be in good condition. So if you have a problem with pests in mm-hmm. your vegetable garden, rather than grabbing chemicals to mm-hmm. have like a quick fix and get rid of the insects, you should be focusing on improving the health of the soil, like adding more compost or using compost tea or other naturalistic approaches that have amazing effects. You just have to be consistent in applying them. That's the main thing there. And another thing is that if you use chemicals in your garden, it's a quick fix, right? It's kind of, I like to compare it to antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Like when you're very, very, very ill, obviously you have to take antibiotics. But the thing is, when you take antibiotics, you kill all of the microorganisms or organisms that are in your body, mm-hmm. Like your gut health, your brain health is damaged from that, and you have to rebuild it from scratch. And this is the same with chemicals. When you use chemicals, you're killing all the life in the soil, mm-hmm. and it will give you a short-term solution. You might even have produce that you can harvest, not even considering that it's going to be chemicals and you'll be mm-hmm. eating chemicals. But then you end up with soil that is kind of depleted and doesn't have the healthy environment that it should have. And some of these chemicals take a lot of time to decompose. Mm. So it's really not a good idea to use chemicals. Yeah. Really have to focus on nature creation in your garden.
Right.
And then everything's become so much easier.
So first of all, the idea of keeping kind of a wilder area in your garden for the pests to go to, and just to kind of, give that space mm-hmm. for nature to do its yeah. thing. That's really mm-hmm. cool, first yeah. of all, because my one of my gardens is just like that.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm lazy.
And even if you're like, this is something else that you can do, like if you're growing seedlings in your vegetable garden, and you want to, you have maybe too many seedlings at the end, rather than throwing them away, just chuck them in your garden somewhere mm-hmm. in a, let's say, on a wrong environment. Mm-hmm. And then maybe more to give them too much shade, so they will not be performing in a good way. And then the insects will go after these plants rather the ones that you want to grow. This is a very effective way as well to have like an extra patch of the
yeah
bad vegetables,
yeah,
so the insects will go after that.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. I've never heard that before. Not that I've heard everything in gardening, but that is really fascinating. So I'm just doing that naturally right now in yeah. one of my gardens.
Exactly.
That's just,
and then like the other day I had a client of mine who's in Australia. We talked about this just before. He told me, like, we have a lot of mosquitoes in my garden. I don't, how can I get rid of them? And the vision that I had was, okay, you would think like if you have mosquitoes in your garden, you should have less water, or you should mm-hmm. reduce the water in your garden. But in fact, it's the exact opposite. If you have mosquitoes in your garden, you should create more water. You should actually create a natural pool mm-hmm. Because when you create a natural pool or just a small water feature with also natural water plants, you're creating a water an environment that is good for example, dragonflies. And as it turns out, dragonflies eat like a lot of mosquitoes in one day.
Oh,
and
wow.
Also adding water to your garden will attract birds. They will be drinking from your pond and they eat a lot of insects.
Yeah.
And then I said also like we have to put up a lot of birdhouses. And it might look a little bit weird if you go into the garden, but you can make it very beautiful and,
yes.
and aesthetic. But the more birdhouses you'll have, the better you can mitigate the pest as well. So this is kind of like you're kind of mimicking nature. Because if you go to a pristine landscape, all of the things are already there. Like there's old wood so birds can nest. There's other aspects. So you're kind of mimicking how nature works and what all the elements that are in nature to get all the benefits of a well-functioning system. And it's kind of like a flywheel that starts, it starts slowly, right? It needs some time, but then once the flywheel starts running, it's just nature takes care of everything. And you are part of that ecosystem in that way as well.
Right. Well, that is so cool. Like I'm over here thinking, oh my gosh, that's really neat. Because you can really make, like you said, it can be so beautiful.
Yes.
To create this. And I don't, and there are a lot of people who live in apartment buildings. And so they might not be able to create a water feature in the ground, but they can grow pots on their balcony. They can even grow herbs inside their home. And they can still create these ecosystems, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. You add a little bucket for birds to drink from. So they'll come and drink and they'll see an insect in your basil, be like, oh, nice, there's some insects and they will protect your plants.
Right.
So yeah, there's always solutions. Yeah.
Always. So that's brilliant. There are always solutions. We tend to want, like you said, we want the quick fix. We want to just squirt it with a chemical, right?
No.
But we can work with nature. I think we just have to be as human beings, I think we need to be patient, but I also think we need to be a little bit more humble and not think that we're more powerful or more knowledgeable than nature, that we can observe it. We can read books by people like you who have the gift, the DNA for these things. And then start to practice. And it's okay if your plants die, trust me, trust me, but you're going to learn something different. Like I know in Florida, you cannot grow dill in the summertime. You can only grow it in the wintertime. So I'll grow my dill in the wintertime, harvest it and preserve it, and then, not try in the summertime ever again because I've killed too many dill plants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's definitely ways that you can go for trial and error. And as long as it's not like a massive impact on your project, it's good to do it. But that's why I also emphasize a lot on making a plan and doing a planning to avoid like these kind of failures. And I see it a lot in this part of the world where we have like a winter and summer and spring, like the four seasons. This is a phenomenon. I see it every year. Like, and it's happening now. We're getting to the end of the winter. Spring is starting soon. Plants are starting to grow. Like, things are happening and this gets people excited and they think like, oh, this is the moment that I have to start working in my garden.
Right.
And they go to a garden center and they buy all sorts of plants that have been grown in greenhouses and have like been pushed up a lot. So they look very pretty, but they're not actually the best quality to start with. And then another thing is that they will buy all the things just because, oh, this looks beautiful and this looks nice. And they buy all these plants. And then they come home with the whole plants and they go, okay, I'll just chuck it in the garden left and right. And half of the plants, or probably more than half of the plants, die because you're choosing the wrong plants on the wrong places. You have to consider the sun, you have to consider the soil, this whole system of like getting a successful garden. And tapping into that knowledge or having the knowledge is something that obviously then pays for itself. When you don't make these mistakes.
Right. So you mentioned radishes as being like the easiest. Would you think that's number one, the easiest to grow?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Yeah. I'll tell you more. So this story where I was about 5 years old and I said, I'm going to do my vegetable garden. Mm-hmm. I got my first success with radishes and I thought like, okay, this is so easy growing vegetables. And then I said like, okay, now I'm just buying all of these seeds. I asked my father, like, can we get all sorts of seeds, tomatoes, lettuce, everything. And I thought like, oh yeah, this is cool. So I'm just going to prepare the soil, make everything clean. And then I just started seeding in everywhere in the whole garden that I had just like properly prepared. And I thought, this is it. Now I can just relax, come and come back in a couple of weeks. We'll be full of vegetables. And obviously, you know what happened after a holiday or staying with my cousin. I come back to the garden and it's full of weeds. It's like it's overgrown by weeds and I'm devastated. Like, what happened here? And that's also something that I teach in my class, like weeds come for a specific reason. Weeds have a function. Mm-hmm. We're demonizing weeds, but in fact, weeds come for a specific reason. So if we look, for example, at the yellow flower, I have to think of the name now. It's
dandelion. Is that the one?
Dandelions. Thank you. I was thinking daffodils, but that's wrong. Yeah.
That's okay.
Dandelions. Thank you for that. Dandelions have an amazing thing that they have huge tap roots and they can go up to 6 meters in depth into the soil. And that's another thing, like weeds are also bioindicators. They tell you how the condition of the soil is. And dandelions, as it turns out, when you have dandelions in your garden, it means that your soil is either compacted or that it's too high in nitrogen and it's missing some other minerals.
Interesting.
So you can look that up. And this plant is actually trying to teach you something. So what this plant does is, because it has such a deep rooting system, it'll get all the minerals from deep down into the soil and bring it up and make it available in the topsoil. Now, this obviously takes time, so there's ways to overcome that. But then, yeah, every weed like comes for a certain reason. And these are like, all of the weeds are actually pioneer plants. These are plants that when you destroy the soil, which happens kind of in agriculture, it happens in if you do a new garden or if you do an annual garden, you kind of have to dig up the soil every now and then. So you're kind of inviting what I call annual plants, and they will start restoring the soil. So that's kind of how it works.
Interesting. I was on a webinar last year, and he's a master gardener type person, just like you, but he made an interesting comment that, and kind of what you're saying, see if I understood this correctly. So let's say I'm growing cabbage. His suggestion was to let the weeds come up because, like you're saying with the dandelion, that those weeds are bringing other nutrients to the soil, and to have 4 or 5 different types of plants, whether it's weeds or whether I plant lettuce and other types of green beans around that cabbage, but they kind of work in a synergistic way. And if I don't have any other plants to plant, I can let the weeds be that for the cabbage or whatever vegetable I'm growing. Does that sound like I know what I'm talking about?
I wouldn't say that growing weeds actively is the right way forward, because there are some like invasive weeds and some are really, once they develop very well, they might be difficult to get rid of.
Okay.
So that's the beauty of this thing, is that you have to actively grow your own weeds. And this is what is commonly known as cover crops in agriculture. Yeah. It's being used in regenerative farming. I'm teaching it to the farmers that I'm coaching, but it's also as applicable in obviously in gardens, because cover crops are plants that are not that as aggressive as some of the more aggressive weeds.
Okay.
And you're mimicking the idea of having weeds. So a cover crop is improving the soil. You should also select like a specific mixture of cover crops. And then they will help you to restore the soil like over winter or over the period that you don't want to grow anything. so that okay. when you grow the things that you want, they will develop so much better. Like on our family farm, we applied that system in a pump. There's like a pumpkin and potatoes. So there's like an early harvest of potatoes in the summer or in the late summer. Mm-hmm. And then only the pumpkins are planted the next year in June. So there's like a long period of leaving this where in the old system and in the industrial farming system, the soil was just left bare and they spray like chemicals to kill the weeds and then they plant the pumpkins. But that was not effective at all because then you're constantly destroying the soil. So we introduced the cover crops and the result was just amazing. Like the harvest was way better. The maintenance in the crops was way lower. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. And the beauty of this is as well that these cover crops that only grow a season or they don't live long because they are obviously annuals.
Right.
So they make beautiful roots in the soil. And then once you get rid of them, this roots, you should also, by the way, never like completely turn around your soil. This is something important as well.
Oh, okay.
Because when you do that, you destroy the whole thing that nature is trying to restore itself. And you have all these beautiful roots in the soil. Mm-hmm. And if you then plant your vegetable or your pumpkin or whatever you want to grow, the vegetables will actually use the channels that the cover crop has created.
Oh.
And they will root way faster. So you will also have to water less. Like the advantages are endless.
Yeah. Wow. That's really fascinating. What are some of the cover crops that you recommend?
Yeah, so it really depends on your soil, the area you live in. But we had some great experience with Phacelia. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've never heard of that one.
And it's a great pollinator plant as well. Mm-hmm. Sunflowers are really good because they make quite deep roots and they get rid of excess nitrogen if there's like too much nitrogen in the soil. There's daikon radish, which is a family of the normal radish, but the beautiful thing is it makes it's very long and it's kind of works as a, it's also called tillage radish because it decompacts the soil because the root goes so deep. And even in winter and our cold climates, it creates a channel for if there's too much rain. Because once the plant dies, there's still like the hole in the ground and the water can infiltrate better and faster.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I've only heard of cover crops like alfalfa, clover. Yeah.
Well,
things
these
like
are
that.
Not actually, well, they might be considered as cover crops, but they're not annual. They're they live way longer.
Oh. So
that's like, it's good to get alfalfa or clover in your garden because it's just way more robust than, for example, grass. Like we on our most of our gardens, we let the clover grow naturally or we added some in the mixtures because when it's a dry summer, this is like the only lawn that is green.
Right, right.
Because we're now getting restrictions on the water usage, even in our North European countries. So these are really good plants, but the important thing to consider is to use annuals because then you don't really have to kill them. They'll die by themselves and you can grow your vegetables in
really
the next year.
I love that. You have made me so much smarter today. Thank you so much. I'm so thankful. So is that information in the book that you have?
Yes, it definitely is. It's a quite a broad spectrum. So it's for farmers, it's for anybody that wants to do something in let's call it outdoor spaces.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to get his or her hands dirty, it's this is a go-to book. And this is something else that I didn't even touch upon where I was going to talk about, where we talked about the bill of your healthcare that will increase if you don't take care of your health. It's proven that if you put your hands in healthy soil, so soil that is full of beneficial microorganisms, that it gets directly absorbed through your skin and it improves your gut health and your brain health. Because it turns out that our gut and our brain are full of microorganisms and it's exactly the same ones that are in the soil. So that is something amazing as well. Another benefit that you get from being a gardener.
How about that? I knew it was like your brain, like the endorphins or whatever, you know, gardening is really good for your brain as far as like just healthy and happy and things like that. But I didn't realize that about the microorganisms and your gut health. That's really cool.
Yeah, they say that it has mental benefits, mm-hmm. Obviously directly, because it's when you're sitting behind your desk, you're on the computer all the time, you get a fresh mind from working in the garden.
Right.
And yeah, this is something also that I learned from somebody that said, if you have any problems, go out and work in your garden and you'll get your answers. And it's really true. Aww. Like if you're stuck with something in your mind or you're troubled, go and work in your garden and it will resolve itself or you'll feel better. That's for sure.
I believe that. I think it's a form of grounding, literally, because you're in the ground. But I just think that it's like it goes back to what you said at the very beginning. There's that intimate relationship that you have with your garden, with nature, when you're interacting. Mm-hmm. And nature wants us to be we are part of nature, and it wants us to interact with it. It wants to give us answers and to bring us joy. That's what our world was created to do for us.
Yes, exactly. And that's also what you're doing with your amazing work to work with medicinal and herbal plants. There's like a whole world of knowledge that was nearly going to get like lost. But then there's a whole movement of people that are working with this plant. So that's very beautiful to see as well.
Yeah, it's a shame that we walked away from nature the way we have, and especially in our Western culture. But it's so wonderful at the same time to know that nature has provided so much benefit for us medicinally, culturally, you know, as far as eating it, you know, not mm-hmm. eating nature, but the plants. Just going to out there and take a big bite of nature.
Eating nature. That's eating what we do every day.
That's true. That's really true. So, well, this has been such a delight. I could honestly talk to you all day because you're just such a fun person to talk to. You're passionate about what you do. Like I said, it's in your DNA. And I'm the benefactor here that I get to learn from you firsthand. So where my listeners are going to want to know where they can find you. So where can they find you?
Yes. And I want to say something else before I get into that.
Please Wendy, do.
You're an amazing host. You ask so good questions. I really enjoyed this conversation because you got a lot of goodies out of me. And so if people feel the need to take action, mm-hmm. because this is something important that I work with people that want to take action, that want to get their hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to offer a 30-minute free coaching to see what their problems for the garden are and how they can actually solve it.
Wow.
So I'll give you the Calendly link. You can put that in the show notes.
Sure. That's awesome. And thank you.
Yeah, that's a pleasure. And in that way, people that are like, okay, I really want to get into this journey, then they can get to me directly. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're also interested, you can go to my website, which is called www.paulonia-la.com. There you can see all of my gardening projects, which is mostly for my one-on-one clients where we take care of everything. Mm-hmm. And then if people are like, they want to do it themselves, because this is actually quite funny. Like I had a client that we did a whole redesign of their garden, and she was like, wow, this, I really love it. Mm-hmm. But now I have this other part in my garden that I want to redo it, but I don't want a landscape architect anymore. I want the joy of doing it myself.
Aww.
And I said, wow, this is interesting. And I had already this idea of creating a masterclass.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, yeah, I'm obviously going to develop that masterclass. And that's how the idea of the Garden of Your Dreams masterclass was born.
Yeah.
And if people want to go find out more about that, they can go also to www.gardenofyourdreams.com.
Okay.
So yeah, these are the main channels. Then you can also find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, most of the TikTok as well. Put some cool videos on there. And if there's any farmers listening, I also have a new farming program that is just being launched which is called the Farms of Eden program. So I'm taking farmers on a journey to take charge of their business and become better at producing healthy food for the community. Yeah.
That's awesome. And all the links that he mentioned will be in the show notes. So you don't have to memorize everything. Just go click on the show notes and all the links will be there. I admire you. I think I just love it when people find their passion and then they do it. And like I said, I do get emotional when I feel that from someone, and I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful that you were willing to come on and be a guest on the show. But I'm really thankful for what you're doing to benefit the world. I'm really very grateful.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. Thank you for having me on the show. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Joyfully Prepared. I'm grateful for you and appreciate you inviting me into your life. Please subscribe and tell all your friends about this delightful podcast. Leaving a joyful review would earn you all sorts of karma points too. I invite you to join my free Facebook group at www.joyfulprepgroup.com and join with other like-minded mothers.